Right back at you, live and in color. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Seen on Sportsnet. Listened on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Leafs on the ice. Where are they? Muskoka. Muskoka Lumber Community Center, home of the Muskoka Bears Junior C team.
Hey, go Bears.
Here you go.
Did someone call you or someone?
Yeah, one of the guys, I forget the guy's name, but he reached out to tell me that they're where they're playing. And okay. One of the guys, I think it's the coach maybe of the team, reached out to me. So
way to go.
There you go. Yeah.
Love that.
So that's why he got the call out in the lineup.
Huge
he sent
plug.
Me an email. There you go. There
huge
you go.
Plug.
The power of the Bears. Yeah.
So they're up there, they're bonding.
Mm-hmm.
We've had bonding conversations.
Many
before.
Forced bonding trips.
Why didn't we go up there and do that before our show started?
Go play paintball? The three of us is a three-man paintball game.
I tried to get you guys, 2 weeks ago, and you bailed.
Rosedale, yeah.
I still took Sammy out to Rosedale.
I thought when we played Angus Glen, the three of us, mm-hmm. for the Renison.
That was a good bonding
that was
good. One.
Renison,
that was
right?
Good
day. Renison, yeah.
Yeah.
Recovery
Did we win?
Great
yeah.
event.
Did we win?
No. We finished second.
Yeah.
But we couldn't make a putt.
But I will say, I thought the boys' vibes were very high from that.
We were ready to
We
go.
Really enjoyed hanging out with each other. That was bonding. I feel like we really did bond on that trip. On that,
we're
game.
Back.
I don't think anybody's
no
thought that yesterday's show.
No, I don't think so.
I'm really hoping today that it just starts to come to fruition.
Maybe,
and they can see that the bonding paid off. But I didn't get a sense
we
showed anybody we bonded.
We need stogies on the show.
Yeah.
I need a couple of big cigars. I think that would get us through. Get the vibes loose in here.
Stogies are, sorry, my controversial opinion, stogies are gross.
Yeah.
Give me a dart all day long.
Every year,
cannot have a cigar.
Every year, like, you know, under probably Shanny's, like, close to 9-10 years now, they've done this bonding thing. I mean, has it ever really shown on the ice?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you played in the NHL for a lot of years. Is there not value in getting everyone away together?
When you look at this team over the years, did they ever really truly come across as a very tight, close team? Or
do you have to fight to show that you're close?
Because
it sounds like they've liked each other.
But it does sound like they've constantly said how close and tight they are.
8 straight years, closest team in the league.
I know, but like... for me, it's the proof in the pudding at the end,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm.
I mean, is it overrated? Is it overrated?
I always hated it when they're like, hey, we're going away. You're playing paintball together. You're in a golf group with this guy and that guy who you don't actually hang out with.
Yeah.
But I do see at the end of it, it's like, all right, I hung out with a guy I normally wouldn't. I know him a little better. Mm-hmm. I see some value in it.
I know. But it has to kind of show. The only thing that matters is if it shows on the ice can bring.
The Panthers weren't like, we won the cup because we played golf in Muskoka in September.
No.
That's not why.
They won the cup because
they're stacked and they're good.
They watched each other's back like hawks on the ice.
For sure.
Better than any other team.
Yeah. So do you think that's
league.
Well, because they're close. They're a close-knit group.
But I guess there's different types of close.
Yeah. Like, I personally liked those bonding trips because I had a personality where I could go up there and I knew I could kind of keep the guys loose. I could make them laugh. I could get them to just have a good time.
Right.
So it was in my wheelhouse.
Sure.
But it's just not for everybody, though.
I really like you. We spend a lot of time together. I enjoy your company.
You sound like you're convincing yourself.
If Arbor Jack guy comes in here and elbows you in the face, I'm going to need a minute to talk myself into fighting him on your behalf. I'm going to need a sec. Be like, I guess I should do this. I'm going to look like some of the Leafs going, is that me? Am I the closest guy?
But I think this type of team under Craig Berube and the ask from him will bring them closer, just that alone.
Yeah.
And if it makes it look like the cherry on top is that you got to spend 2 or 3 days up in Muskoka and it brought you guys closer together. But I can already see that they're going to have this team that is going to piss off some other teams.
Yeah. Let me quiz you on something while we're on this topic. What event that a team went through made you feel more close? What sort of thing would a team go through where you're suddenly like, that really did it. That brought our group together. Because there's one for me, a theme every year. Is there something that comes to mind for you?
I don't know. I mean, it for me, it was just a matter of like having group decisions on the road, and that included maybe breaking curfew.
Yeah.
Right?
Are we doing this? If we're doing it, we have to all do it.
Yeah, we got to all stick together, and you know, I'm not breaking curfew unless I'm with Mark Messier.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Was
right?
It?
Yeah. So it's like, hey, Kyprios, you broke curfew. And I said, yeah. Mark told me to come with him. What would you have done, Coley or Keenan? Or, you know, what would you do in that situation? Would you tell Mark no?
Right.
Because I'll tell you, the answer that would bring us closer together is saying, yes. I'm coming.
I had a line brawl in mind. When you go into the dressing room after there's 20 gloves on the ice, and everyone's in the dressing room and talking about what just happened. Adrenaline is through the roof.
Yeah.
That is another way that it ends up happening organically. You can't plan that, but I guess you can.
Yeah, and you're right. It is those emotional elements on the ice that I think is the biggest proof in the pudding. I think we got a chance to see a lot more of it this year with Craig Berube.
Yeah.
I think Sheldon tried on occasion to go that way, but it never kind of really showed. But there, between Tree Living and Berube, the ask is going to be a lot more in your face for the players. Mm-hmm. And if they've already had the conversation on accountability, and you know, if we don't believe that your commitment to the team on and off the ice is there, we're going to call you out a lot more. Behind the scenes, probably more than ever. And I think the one thing I can tell you from my experiences coming in with a new coach is you're always on your best behavior early, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's that first impression. I got to make a good first impression. So all the guys are finishing their checks and they've played hard. I think I've seen them play hard this preseason.
Agreed. I was just looking at Stephen Lawrence's fight card to see if they had guys that would do it past Ryan Reeves. That physical element when, you know, Chief leans on him and says it's time, you know, like who is there that's going to do it? Because they haven't had a ton of those guys. My boy Nick Robertson's probably not going to do it. So maybe Lawrence, he's got about 6 or 7 fights on his fight card.
Quickly before we move on to the massive list of things we didn't get to yesterday, Berube got asked about like his favorite bonding thing, and it was a Mike Keenan story. Did you want to hear it? It's funny.
Yeah, perfect.
So it'd be clip number 2 there, Derek.
What was your favorite team bonding trip as a player?
Mike Keenan took us to Lake Placid 1 year. I was a rookie, and actually it was kind of like it was in the middle of the year, and. We went there for like 3 days. And so we get dressed for practice, right? We're going to go out and practice. And here comes Mike Keenan in the room, fully dressed. He says, let's go, boys. You want a piece of me? I'm going to be playing today. So we went out in scrimmage and Mike was playing. But nobody took a shot at him. I got a good kick out of it, though.
Kip, you guys are the same age, you and Berube, and you're with the Flyers. Would you have been there?
Yeah, we played together in Hershey briefly.
Okay, but you weren't on that Lake Placid.
No. I was still in the minors, I think.
Gotcha.
With Hershey.
Yeah. Would you have run Keenan?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, I would have. He's actually, I think he's in.
He's
in
doing
town.
A book tour.
He's got a book tour. We should get him on.
Would you have a twitch if he was in here? Would it make you uncomfortable or what?
No, not at all.
I think if my junior coach is in here.
Can you talk to him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, like I just saw him this past weekend, and we hung out, and we, you know, he told some lies, and and Brian Leetch was in the back going, that's not the way I remember it. That's not the way I remember it, and, you know.
It's a great part about being in your 70s. You just kind of, no one remembers. You just kind of
We'll get him on.
All right.
Let's get him on and listen to some of those
fake stories.
Some of those stories.
Love it.
For sure. All right, so where do you guys want to start? Because there's so many topics that we're going to carry through probably right up until game 1 next Wednesday night. when the Toronto Maple Leafs open up against the Montreal Canadiens.
This theme of team building, team bonding kind of takes you to leadership naturally, doesn't it?
Sure.
John Tavares hands the captaincy over to Austin Matthews.
I'm not sure he handed it.
He willingly gave it to him out of the goodness of his altruistic heart.
Listen, I'm not going to pat ourselves on the back. But
You guys were all over this for 3 years.
We started this conversation, and you know, of course, there's always the backlash that you guys don't know what you're talking about. You're idiots. They'll never, ever take away the captaincy from John Tavares.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they did. So, like, you know, and I reported that I'm not sure if it's going to happen or not, but the discussions are real, and there is a real strong possibility that they will make Austin Matthews captain next year. So ultimately, surprised or not surprised?
Not at all surprised myself. As you mentioned, we've been talking about it for years. And to me, the hiring of Craig Berube, I'm hoping, is a start of a more honest Toronto Maple Leafs. And I don't mean from a PR perspective, but he's an honest effort guy, no BS, straightforward. Much like Austin Matthews is the leader of this team. He is the guy they look to when the chips are down. He plays a ton of minutes. He answers questions in the media. Tavares was a good captain for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but this is the leader of the team. He's the one that they're going to go as he goes. So this is a more honest representation of it rather than, you know, he came here to the goodness of his heart, so we gave him the C sort of thing. This makes sense to me.
Yeah, it does make sense. There is part of me that's like, you know, just maybe let him play out the end of this contract as the captain. And
Avoid the ceremony. Let him finish.
100%.
Let him. Why now? Why?
Because you don't have years to waste. It's time to turn the page. New lease.
I am not disagreeing with you, but there was a lot of people, Sammy, that
people
said,
in my life reached out to me and said that it feels dirty.
Dirty.
Like it felt like making them sit up there.
Not house hockey.
Listen, I understand it, but I'm just telling you, like as a guy that gets a lot of lease texts in his life, people were talking about how you're making them sit up there, you're making them go through the whole process, how it just felt a little bit weird to have it be like that.
Yeah, I didn't love that.
You know, that like making them sit up there and be like, I'm happy for him and do it. Like, I don't know. It felt a little bit weird. It did. I think it was the right choice, but maybe you didn't have to make it this offseason.
There's not too many guys that I've played with that would have handled it like John Tavares did, right?
All class.
Well, he took the high road, okay? He took the high road. And, you know, there are some players out there that have worn the C that said, if you don't think that I can still do this or you don't want me to do that, then get rid of me. I'm out of here. I will not stand for this.
Do you think the Leafs were like kind of hoping that would happen?
If it could help them alleviate the cap, I think the Leafs were prepared to hear that from him. But he didn't go down that road. But I know a lot of players that I've talked to, ex-players, that would have said, why would he accept that so readily that they've come to you and said, we can't win with you as a captain, so you need to pass it over.
He probably played that movie out in his mind. He probably saw how quickly it would have gone from, you don't think I can lead, then send me out of here. And next day he'd have been in...
He's made it crystal clear that he wants to stay here, and this move can only help him, right? Really?
Yeah, well, so of course. That's what I was going to ask. Gives him a chance to be a part of this going forward.
That's what I was going to ask both of you. Is there part of him maybe, and like I've never really been a part of a team like this or like a captaincy or having to deal with that, but like from your two perspective, where he'd be like, oh, thank God. I don't have to be the captain of this anymore. Like, I can just kind of play my role as a third-line center. I don't have to talk to the media every single day. Like, there's no part of him that would be like that.
I don't claim to know John Tavares well.
Yeah.
But that ain't him you're describing.
Okay. I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
From what I can see from afar, I would sit there and say that since this guy's put on skates, he's been the best player on the team every year, top scorer, and, like, this is new territory for him, man.
It is, Kip, but some people... recognize where they're at and adapt. We've seen Corey Perry's second act as a bottom, you know, six guy. We've seen Jason Spezza come here.
Corey Perry can go out there and piss people off. He can spear you. He could. Yes. There's different ways Corey Perry can influence a hockey game.
Spezza, that.
Spezza, who did he? Whose knee did he take out in Winnipeg? Okay,
no, he took out his head with his knee.
Okay, who fought in the playoffs to wow, what a warrior Spezza is, fighting and kneeing guys and willing to get suspended. I'm just telling you now, is John going to go and do those sorts of things to make this transition that you speak of?
No, because I don't see it as those guys became tough guys to stay in the league. I see it as these are high IQ hockey players who did what they had to do to stay in the league, to stay where they wanted and stay relevant. And for Tavares, if that evolution isn't, don't become a tough guy, but become a third line center. Maybe he's just someone saying, hey, recognize where I'm at. I'm a 65 point guy, not a 100 point guy anymore. Maybe he's just showing a willingness to do what it takes to be a part of this thing here.
I think that should be the mindset. Mm-hmm. But when a guy's been a captain his whole career and a star, all-star, and a Team Canada guy, that's a very big pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably had to do some major soul searching this offseason with his diminished role and the way that they've, it's a big thing to ask him. Like, I'm sure it was even hard for them to go for it.
And you also, you're not sure if he's going to be able to adapt and do the things that you're talking about. Like, so, you know, a lot of conversation is signing an extension. Okay. Like, what's the number? What are you paying for? Do we know?
You got to wait and see. You can't give him a nickel till you see what it looks like as third liner wearing an A. You can't make that decision now. He might be worth, I don't know, maybe $4 million. Maybe he's worth $800,000. It depends how this works.
So you're not sure? No one's sure about Willie at second line centerman. Like, if it doesn't work out, I don't know what choices you have, but one of them is moving John back in.
Oh, yeah.
And him still finding a way to put 55, 60 points up as a second line centerman. Like,
yeah, there's a very real scenario where it's just Matthews, Marner, Willie, and John Tavares as the two parents in the top two lines again. Right?
For sure.
Like,
I mean, it's a recipe for 100 point season.
But I think at least the Leafs have acknowledged we can't win like that. We've tried. Mm-hmm. And tried again, and tried again,
yeah,
and tried again, and I think that they understand that,
yeah,
right.
So, if you're going to sign John to anything, you got to make sure that it's crystal clear that this is your new role. You're going to play the third line, and what do we expect out of you in that position? Is it 40 points? 50 points, 60 points. Does that mean he's still number one on the, is he third line, but yet number one on the power play?
Yeah, right. Probably.
Probably.
Yep.
I'm just looking, like his ice time last year was pretty low, was it not? Am I
17:35?
Yeah. 17:50. Yeah. So, I mean, he's working his way to third line minutes. That's the second line minutes, but.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, not to get too far off on this conversation, but I'm okay with, doing it now because Austin is the face of the team.
Yeah, it's time
and
to turn the page
you've got to, you got to give Austin more ownership here, buddy. Mm-hmm. Think of the money and the time that you've invested in this guy, and he's put up a real good show for you with the 60 goals, 69. And
if we're going to call Marner a 100-point guy, we can call him a 70-goal guy, I think.
He did score 70. He scored one of the playoffs.
You're all in on him.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's this is your team now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely. And so, you know, do you believe that he, as a leader, is a guy who could pull a team through?
No, because there's no proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to fall on. This is just, you just hope this is an extension of the evolution of Austin Matthews. You are hoping that this is the direction that it goes.
Yeah.
But up until now, no real huge sample size that you've led this team to anything at this point.
Yeah. You know, I think a reasonable, and I get that. I am a believer just watching the way this guy plays hockey. And I think Barkov was kind of a nice template for him, a nice mold. You know, Barkov might have had 4 PIMs in playoffs. Mm-hmm. But he's big and he's strong and he dragged people to the net and he played big in big games. And he hadn't. Barkov had years where he was not a good power play or sorry, a playoff player. So there is, you can see how it can get there for Matthews.
But Barkov doesn't, you know, the numbers aren't important to Barkov. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Austin's at that point where it's like, it ain't about 50, 60 or 70 goals. Yep. It's about.
The end of last year was sure about 70 goals.
It was. And I wonder, it was another theme all year last year. Like, guys, but this is, I wonder for these Toronto Maple Leaf core guys, if the numbers, all the numbers, dollars included, mostly dollars, are ever going to be enough where it's like, you've been paid, focus on winning. You've hit big milestones, focus on winning. Like, none of this other stuff. They've all got it now. They have individual accolades. They have a lot of money. It's now it's like, okay, you're running out of years to be great, and the young guys behind you are going to be the next great ones. It's now. So I wonder if they'll be mature enough to do what you're saying and saying, I don't care if I get 70, I'll get 50. I just want to win more.
So from a fan's perspective, you look at Matthews getting the C, and, you know, it's an outside perspective as well. How much, you know, he's going to talk to the media more. He's the first guy out there.
What's the real change?
What is the real change? Like, is Matthews holding back something in the room the last 7 years? Like, is he not emboldened to be like, hey, guys, we got to get going here? Like, in the room, what is the dynamic change, if any? That's the question I have no idea the answer to.
Well, you can't.
None?
You can't get a guy to just change
like he's not
going to
start running guys through the end boards, is he?
You know, and I don't.
And he's Obama just giving these long speeches.
I think he's just, there's going to be more of the same, but with a little bit more emphasis on, like, nobody can be happy until we win.
And you want to be the guy. Sorry.
And you just have to set that tone that the only thing that matters here is winning and getting ready for the playoffs.
Your coach needs to be able to point at your captain on video and go, if he can do that, you can all do that. And I think that's hard with Tavares just because of his skating right now. But Matthews should be able to point to him a little bit more.
Defensively responsible guy who shoots it in the net a whole lot would be a good guy to kind of. The idea of what his game is pretty perfect for a coach to build off the back of.
Yeah.
Maybe not playoffs as much, but regular season, no question.
Yeah. All right.
We've done an hour and a half on the Leafs, and we haven't mentioned the goaltenders.
They have goalies.
Yeah, 2 goalies, in fact.
4.
4, yeah. Good goaltending depth.
4.
Easy.
Well, there is 4.
There's 4.
And
in body.
There's 4 that they think, you know, push comes to shove, can go in there and play.
How many are they going to need?
4?
That's the question.
We're currently having a Matt Murray conversation if people can't hear the undertones of what's happening.
Kipper's boy.
Yeah, because there's Wohl, Stolarz, Hildeby, and Matt Murray.
Yeah.
And Matt Murray is off hip surgeries to both hips, right?
Matt Murray's just got to, come back and
play some American League games and show
he's Jones.
Can play. Yeah, Jones played 10 games for the Leafs last year, put up good numbers.
He's playing in the minors, and he'll be called upon if there's an injury or, you know, some issues. And come March, April, if you're really, really comfortable with Hildebeest at the third position, you flip Matt Murray as an asset.
Do you think he'd get claimed on waivers? Or do you think he needs to show he can play?
No, I don't think he gets claimed on waivers.
Martin Jones played 19 games at least last year.
Pardon.
And he was good.
Started 19 and played in 22.
And he was good.
Yeah, there was a couple games there where
they
needed him badly for a couple times. So, the big question here is Wohl and Stolarz for the number 1 and 2 or number 1 and 2, whatever way you want to look at it.
Do we have a...
I really believe this is both guys have been told that if you play better than the other guy, you will goaltend more than the other guy.
So, Wohl's only played once in preseason.
Do we know why?
No. And they asked Joseph Wohl that very question a few days ago. I believe we have the clip on it if you want to hear his response to the question.
Good producing.
Okay, there we go.
in a game since that first one. I'm just curious, what's the thought process in terms of your preseason playing time at this camp?
Yeah, you know, when I'm called to go in the net, I'll go in the net and do my best. And I think it's I'm trying to get everyone into games and whatnot. So, yeah, no, I'm comfortable with where I'm at, and I'm excited to play some more hockey.
Okay, and then the coach was asked about this situation as well. Craig Berube on...
is it anything to do with the medical staff, or is that...
Has nothing to do with anything. Don't read into anything like that. It's the plan.
The plan.
So
the plan.
This is the first I've heard of the capitalized the plan.
Derek, we need that drop, please. It has nothing.
It's the plan.
No, it has nothing to do with anything.
Nothing to do with anything.
Thank you. Thank you.
He says he's getting all three. Nothing to do with anything. A little strange, right? A young guy going to be your starter potentially. Like, let's get the things going in the right direction for playoffs. They also started in the first game with like a legit lineup. Mm-hmm.
I'd still like to think that this is kind of funneling towards Joseph Woll getting more of a serious chance to be the number one.
Yeah.
He's got the 3-year contract. Right? He's the homegrown guy. He's the younger guy.
But you don't have to – he doesn't have to go – 8-10 to start the season, or 9-11 or 12. So
6-10,
maybe 6-10. I don't know.
Don't read into anything like that.
I think, I think
it's a good drop.
If the Leafs are in contention in the Atlantic, which they should be, then and both of them are healthy, then I think it's looking 50 starts for Joseph Woll.
All I know is last year's Game 6 to Game 7 really hangs over me. Joseph Woll. That was a heartbreaking moment when he was so good in Game 6 and was about to shut out the Bruins, and it was like, they got it. They got a guy. They got one of those young guys who's going to go on a freakish run, and here he comes. And we're sitting here the day of Game 7 going, wait, what's happening right now? Who's not playing?
He literally just disappeared. Like, it was, he played some of the best goaltending I've ever seen a goalie play, like, for the Leafs in the playoffs, which is a list of a lot of guys who have carried some crappy teams in my life. And he looked as good as any of them. And he just disappeared.
I actually feel wildly unsatisfied by the answers we have on Woll's injury, Nylander's, and Matthews. None of them ever satisfied me in terms of the team saying, here's what happened. That's
not. Yeah, like, they're not going to either.
But why every team, when they're done, they go, oh, he had a broken wrist and he had a punctured lung.
Well, they did talk about migraines, didn't they?
Nebulous.
Flu-like symptoms for Austin that left him, like, with pasty white ghostly looks.
Is that what this is? That's the first time I've heard those words.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe
what happened to concussions
to
or?
No. He battled. He just didn't. He had something.
I know this is the problem.
But what was it?
No.
I don't know. All I know is he came to the rink one day and he looked like he was dipped in vanilla. That's all I know.
All right.
Was it this? It was obviously the Charlie McAvoy slew foot that did it.
Yeah, that's probably a good place to trace the origin of that.
Yep. But so to go back to the goaltending.
Yeah.
I mean, Stolarz, I was not sure about the signing in terms of I'd never really seen him. You know, I've seen him play for Florida, but I didn't. What I've seen from him in the preseason, big goalie.
He's got a chance to be a very good goaltender.
Listen, as much as you can, the constant narrative over the last few years is Mitch doesn't show up or Austin doesn't score like he usually does or, you know, the Leafs. Defense stink or whatever, there's also an argument that said just head-to-head, throw everything out of the equation, that the constant narrative in the playoffs is just the Leafs were out-goalied. That's it.
Mm.
That's it. And the one time in 9 tries Samsonov was better than Vasilevsky.
And every shot went in.
And that's because Vasilevsky was.
Yeah, every shot went in.
But
yeah.
Sammy was good.
For sure.
Sammy was good.
Yeah, I think yeah,
right?
He was. He was good enough.
And sure. Last year, Swayman was better. And the years before, Vasilevsky was better.
Yeah.
And if the Leafs can just get over the hump and either get Wall or Stolarz or somebody to step up, then that could also be the one thing that gets them truly, truly over the hump.
Now, goaltenders tend to have really good, like their primes are older, and I think you see goalies have great years at 28, 29, 30. Stolarz is 29. Some fancy stats, the goal saved above expected. He was, depending on how you sort it, between third and first in the NHL last year in the games he did play. He was awesome. He's 6 foot six. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that said, here's a guy who just needs some opportunity. I think he could be that guy, Kip. And I don't know what Wool's health will be. His ankles are an issue.
I think he had a really, really, I don't know. I mean,
he was insulated just in Florida. Is that what you're going to say?
No.
Okay.
You're talking about Stolarz or?
I was, Wall. Yeah, Stolarz. Okay. Wool was also up there in those categories.
Yeah. I think Wool had a really good summer, and he understands, I think, the health issues, and at times, you know, was there certain things in training that he could have done differently? Mm-hmm. I mean, the goalies are weird, as we know. And, you know, if there's a few things that you can tweak or something, or, you know, whether or not he's got ankle issues or not, but they're strengthening other muscles. I mean, he did have that summer. I know the Leafs talked about it publicly a little bit about and Tree Living touched on this. Can he go back and he change a few things? And I heard he did. And I heard he had a really, really good summer. And he is mentally, physically, emotionally, like, ready for this new challenge of just proving everybody that whatever's happened in the past has been a bit of a fluke, and I'm ready to go. So
you have to feel good that when we have goalie analysts on the show, they all rave about Wool technically. They say he's, you know, he looks like the best goalies when he's playing well and all that. So there's high ceiling on him and a high ceiling on Stolarz. You like the odds of one of the two guys doing it. If they don't, well,
and
Hildebeest, Murray.
You mentioned
any team's in trouble if you're down to your third goalie.
You mentioned that about Wall and the offseason stuff. I mean, there's definitely a chance that they're not playing in the preseason because they're terrified of him getting hurt in the preseason.
Yeah, but I hate that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we can talk about this later, maybe more in the national hour, about how long the preseason is. Two starts for a goalie for me, and then you head into the regular season. Like, I don't need him starting every game. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a ton. So I think they're probably a little worried about they're doing off-the-ice stuff, working with him in practice.
Everybody's screaming that training camps, you don't need the exhibition games. They're already in shape. Shorten them. Too many guys getting hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And now
decimated.
You want more games for him?
No. I want
him to play the games.
I don't want him to play any games. I'm fine with him playing lack of games. You've completely missed.
Well, we are at the point where I want him to play the full game. I would like him to play tomorrow night for 60 minutes.
They're both going to get full games. Yeah. Stolarz and Wall will get full games.
Play Wall tomorrow and then
close out.
And then his next start will be October 9th.
It'd be exactly what you wanted, which is basically two starts and in.
Yeah. And then away we go. So we'll see. But I mean, dare I say I'm optimistic about the Leafs goaltending? Is that fair? Or
you know, last year they were.
Everybody's optimistic.
They were
the whole league. 32 teams think that your goaltending's great.
But you're not. You're not optimistic about it.
Listen, I'm a
you
big
think the
Joseph
Sharks
Wall
are,
fan.
Well, I guess they got Askarov.
A fan of his for sure. Okay. I think again, I saw what you guys saw last year, where it was flashes of like brilliance. You got four guys right now where you think that the depth is pretty good.
Yeah.
None of them have ever proven that they can carry a team. So that's the challenge.
Yeah, the Murray thing aside.
So I'm. Would I bet money on them? Mm. Probably not.
Here's what I like. Last year, the Leafs finished 23rd in team save percentage. If these guys are okay, the Leafs are no farther behind. They're actually better than last year if they can give them league average goaltending. So I believe they can get them there. It's a low bar.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Yep.
We've gone through a show and a half yet, and we haven't even touched on what people have claimed has been their biggest problem over the course of 9 years. Defense.
We haven't mentioned a defender yet.
Defense at all.
Well, I mean, there's this other thing that people are kind of sticks in their crawler, but the power play hasn't been mentioned either. So.
All right.
they're rolling up the same guys.
Plenty more to chew on still when we return. to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. I think as a group, we can all collectively say that we think that the Leaf blue line is much better, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much better?
Best in the Matthews era, I would say.
You're that high on it.
Yeah. Neither of you guys are?
Best in the Matthews era.
Uh-huh.
I can't put together a group in my head. Like, it was Muzzin and Labushkin on the same time. Anyway.
Probably depth-wise, yes.
Depth-wise, right? For sure. What are they got? 9 guys you would...
But
capably put over the boards.
You'd like to think every once in a while you got a game breaker back there, and we'd like to think that that would be in the hands of Morgan Rielly.
Mm-hmm.
Can Morgan bounce back and have a season like he did with how many years ago did he put up like 70 points?
With Ron Hainsey?
2 years ago.
No, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Right? Ron Hainsey was more than 2 years ago, that's for sure.
Like, if Morgan Rielly becomes that guy again, all of a sudden, that blue line looks even better.
So he scored 20 goals in 18-19, 72 points, and in 21-22, he had 68 points in 82 games.
So you got Rielly, Tanev, mm-hmm. Ekman-Larsson, McCabe,
mm-hmm.
Benoit, Liljegren. Hakanpaa, Rafai.
Hakanpaa's not close.
Not close.
I don't think he's close. No. And I think
the coach talked about this very thing today.
Okay.
In Muskoka at the home of the Bears, if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play it. On Hakanpaa, Derek. Berube clip 3.
Or in terms of Hakanpaa in terms of being ready for game action.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I can't really answer that question right now. We have to wait and see. We got a little bit of time yet, and see where he gets to and where he's at. You know, he's got to be comfortable with getting in there and playing a game.
He's a project, guys.
I'm not at all confident this guy's going to be rolling for the Leafs this year.
He's just a project, and I think if you can handpick games during the regular season and just hope that he might be available in the playoffs is their best case scenario, but he cannot become an everyday player with that knee. It's managing the knee from here on in.
What do we think of them announcing this like 2-year contract for him in the summer? Is that?
Yeah. And then not being 2 years.
Well, I think it was first Steve Simmons that mentioned something about it.
Bone on bone.
And then I followed it up. You know, because I had talked to someone in Dallas and they're like, yeah, we like him, but there's nothing with his knee that would warrant us to think that we can depend on him.
Over under 15 games for Hakanpaa for the Leafs this year.
God, if it's not over, then it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's just it's not good.
Well, Brad, it's not May. Good further
well,
analysis.
It's not good. Yeah. All right.
So I think the goal is to try to get him 40 games. I think anything around 40 and keeping him healthy, and can you get a few games in there? And then if the knee starts swelling up, he needs a week off and then back and forth. But like he's a big guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he could,
it's a monster.
He could add some serious depth to the Leafs if they can keep him healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that seems like a pretty big if, the way you're talking.
You know,
the way the coach is talking.
Now,
so,
you know, outside of that, I do like, of course, we all love Tanev. Mm-hmm. The question is, too, he plays so darn hard that, you know, how many games do you need out of him during the regular season to get him ready for the playoffs? Oliver Ekman-Larsson had a good year, a Stanley Cup year for Florida. Mm-hmm. But, you know, can you find out the ice times for Florida last year? Because I don't think they used him. Did they use him as a top four most nights?
At the start of the year, he was on their top pairing. But when the
last year in the regular season,
he's a five for them, is he not?
How far down
when
is
they,
this guy?
When they won the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was a five.
So he played 18.24 per game in the regular season.
But the Leafs need him at a four.
Yeah.
So the question is it, are
in
the
game
Leafs,
7, he played
15.27 in playoffs.
In game 7, he played 16.37.
And he made how much last year? $2 million?
If that, it
was two and a half.
Yeah.
And now as a $4 million player, he's got to be a top four. So how many more minutes can you squeeze out of him without his level being dropped? Mm. And, you know, more importantly, are you going to get Oliver Ekman-Larsson in Vancouver or in Florida?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the fundamental difference there is Florida was a great structured team with good people ahead of him, so he wasn't taking the big matchups. And the second I see the way he's lined up right now beside McCabe, I don't love it. You know, for that very reason. Like, I would love to see McCabe and Benoit, to me, were awesome.
Yeah.
I love them as a pair. I love how physical they were. Great sort of shutdown group. But I maybe they look at their third pair and say, we don't want Ekman-Larsson, Liljegren as a third pair.
Mm.
Timmins seems like no one even mentions this guy's name. Like, yeah. It's just assumed they're going to waive him, I guess. $1.1 million one-way contract.
I don't know if they are in that situation. Like, they got to alleviate some money somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, Connor Dewar is...
He's going to play, I think. Maybe tomorrow.
They might have to keep him...
He may have to be hurt
Yeah, I don't know if that serves any purpose.
If he goes into the year on IR, he can't play for 10 games or 24 days.
Well, that's... Time. But, like... I know we're getting off topic a little bit here, but like there are other players that have stepped up, in my opinion, ahead of him.
Dewar.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Totally.
So Nick Robertson's ahead of him.
Yeah, for sure.
Holmberg's ahead of him.
I like Lawrence.
Lawrence is ahead of him. Lorenz?
Lorenz. It's actually, you say it like Jennifer Lawrence. It's Lawrence.
Really? Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was Lawrence.
Me too.
It's okay. Held that way. Should be that way.
All right.
I'm
good by you. I believe you.
One day on TV, they told me to say it like that.
Okay, so, there right, you go. Yeah.
So, and I think he should start fourth line left wing.
Dewar.
No.
Oh.
Lawrence.
Lawrence, yeah. I like, Luke Fox had a good article on him. Did you happen to read that?
No.
He talked about how he's texted a picture of himself in a blue and white sweater to his dad, and like, this is his lifelong dream. He's wanted to be a Leaf.
So, as they say, he has the passion.
He is the
best. He's passionate.
I got Connor Dewar like below them.
Yeah.
So I think it's not a stretch to think that he might be not protected or on waivers.
Yeah.
Mm. That makes sense.
So do you need to put Timmins' contract on waivers? It might be a possibility.
I'd rather they do that than Dewar if you got to keep one of them. Like,
I don't think
they just don't seem to have a vision for Timmins, and I can't see Berube being like, you know who I really like?
But
I think I like Oliver Ekman-Larsson a lot more than I liked Klingberg.
Yeah.
But
Ekman-Larsson is long, and he can shoot it, and he can make plays. I mean, preseason, he's way up the ice sometimes. Let's face facts. The Leafs are, like, near the bottom of the league in offense from the back end. Mm-hmm. They could use something. He essentially is what a lot of people out there pretend Liljegren could be. This Liljegren thing is fascinating to me, too. He's making $3 million for this season and next. I don't know if you've watched them all in preseason, but...
Mid.
Perfect drop.
Looks a lot like Timothy Liljegren.
Yeah. He doesn't do anything special.
But they like... He's the right-handed shot.
I mean, that is his superpower.
Yeah.
This guy has been eaten off shooting right.
Yes.
He got a great contract.
They got to think behind the scenes they might be working on something.
I got to think. It's not happening. Quit trying to make Fetch happen. Quit trying to make Liljegren happen.
The one thing I did hear is potentially a Jake McCabe extension, maybe coming maybe before the season starts. I heard talks were real good. Now,
I love playing guest.
Maybe debatable on how much term, and maybe that still might fluctuate the AAV. But I'm thinking right now that he'd have no problem right now, next season, making $30 million over 6 years.
Six times five, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. 5-2-5. I think he'd get 5-2-5.
Yeah.
On the open market. So the Leafs.
What's he make now?
Four.
Four?
They pay him two.
Yeah. Oh, right. Because it was like the double retention.
Yeah.
So he's 30. He's flat. Yeah. Oh, he turns 31 in 10 days.
Just. And
He plays hard.
He plays hard. And to me, in the last little while, I see leadership qualities. Mm-hmm. And he's got some FU in him.
Yeah, God, it's nice to see. Who did he absolutely destroy? Is it Weatherspoon?
He's gotten...
He's taking some dumb penalties now, I think, about it too.
Once in a while, he lights somebody up. Mm-hmm. And it just adds such a great dynamic to the game.
They just, when he just don't have enough guys who's like...
The threat of violence.
Just, yeah, yes. Who just go squirrely at times. What do you say? The eyes roll back in their head?
Yeah, like slot machines at Casino Rama.
Big time wire cross guy.
Yeah.
Wires can cross. But
I'd fight my mom to win another Stanley Cup.
So... But you kind of glossed over Tanev, right? Where you said that, you know, you say he's good. But I will say, having watched him in the preseason, like, I don't think you can say how big of an upgrade he is over TJ Brody.
Oh, it's not even close.
Like,
it's not even close.
Having him play on that top pairing on the right side,
yeah,
it doesn't look like a grenade on his stick in the defensive zone.
Yeah, he can handle the puck.
Listen,
he's made some plays where I'm like, oh, that is a breath of fresh air.
I would tell you probably in the first two or three or four months that behind the scenes, Tanev will present himself more of a captain than Austin Matthews.
Think so? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's underrated.
Tanev's a grown-up with kids and stuff.
I think it's still underrated, like what an influence that guy has had in a NHL dressing room in Calgary and Vancouver.
When you've heard that about people, go ahead.
Austin will, if he's smart, he'll really lean on this guy. Mm-hmm. I think that's where there's going to be tremendous value out of Tanev.
Yeah. I was going to say that they have had guys come in that you hear that about before, but it's usually old guys. Oh. It's usually veteran guys who
Tanev's
don't
not
have
exactly
it
a rookie.
Yeah, he's not a spring chicken.
Well,
exactly.
Guys, he signed a 4-year contract. This is as spring
year.
As his chicken's going to get.
Oh, no.
Six?
Year? Yeah, because they needed the AAV down.
Right. This is as spring as his chickens get.
But I think Leaf fans are going to fall in love with him quickly. That was just the breath of fresh air to have him on the top pair and just a real, like, say what you will about the contract and the age or whatever, but to have these next couple years of him.
He's what happens too when you get older, though, he's got to be more selective on when he wants to block a shot with his teeth.
Or his hand in the preseason?
No, but the smart ones, as they get older, they have to survive.
Yeah. But give me Riley Tanev, McCabe Benoit, Ekman Larson, Hawkinpaw in game one.
Or Rafai. Game one, maybe.
Yeah.
I like Rafai, though.
He's my seventh defenseman.
Rafai?
Oh, I like Rafai, too.
Yeah.
There's something there. Yeah, and if they see it, too, is he a right shot? God, someone else shoot right.
No, I don't think so.
No, he's not. But he punched out Slavkovsky pretty good in that preseason game. He's got a little bit of bite to him. I like Rafai.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That was a nice touch.
Well, we did another hour. We didn't talk about Shanny or the Rogers thing. So I guess we're going to talk about tomorrow.
Oh, is Ekman Larson going to get power play time? Is he going to take over Morgan's spot?
You know, the one thing that Paul Maurice told me was that he thinks he's as good as anybody when it comes to getting a shot through on a power play.
That would mean he'd have to shoot it, which would be amazing from the point.
And he does. He does.
Well, I hope you like the same power play unit because that's what they're running
out
there today.
It'll start that way because I think Ruby doesn't want to make waves, but I bet you Ekman Larson's on
there. What about Pacioretty? How much power play time is he getting?
Nick Robertson. Read my article on sportsnet.ca.
You are not a fan of 67, eh?
He scored 447 last year. What changed? Did he get younger?
He had a great offseason, buddy. Great summer.
We all did.
I was here. You guys had a great summer.
Don't go away. National Hour coming up. Jason Bukala turned into a real Kipper and Bourne star last year.
In studio
now. And he's had a busy summer, too. We're going to get into that and so much more. National Hour coming up next.